It's time for another dose of digital dissemination from Dr. Dave. Right here, right now, on Computer Talk with Dave Mason. To consult with Dr. Dave, there's no appointment necessary. Just call 1-866-821-8255. That's 1-866-821-TALK.
We're talking about Aaron Schwartz, the Internet's own boy. That's the name of the new movie available that talks about, that presents Aaron Schwartz's life and unfortunately his death at his own hands. And some pretty compelling events in between and some really tragic judgments that he made in regards to, ultimately, obviously, because he took his own life, which, you know, there's no other way to say it than he shouldn't have. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's easy to say. But here's a guy that as a kid, and I'm talking like 12 years old, was really involved in some frontline thinking on the internet and his particular interest was that historic interest that we talked about, that information should be shared. Now, the mistake that he made, and nobody really denies this, is that he stole information from MIT's JSTOR research suppository. Depository. That this was not, that he knowingly, that it was, he knew it was illegal, he knew it was protected, and he did it anyway. And I think any time you get into that, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, this JSTOR stuff should be, you know, available for the good of mankind to everyone. And I think even in that situation, you know, he really needed to rethink that. I mean, we've talked about this for years and years and years, for decades, in fact. Everybody wants to earn a living at what they do, but they don't want anybody else to earn a living. And I think a little bit of that mental dynamic is a part of Aaron Schwartz's perspective, unfortunately. You know, that there were millions and potentially even billions of dollars worth of work and research and effort and strain and blood, sweat, and tears that he wanted to be let out for free. Well, you know, You just have to ask yourself, you know, as a 12-year-old, nowadays as a 30-year-old, you may have that naivete that, you're supposed to earn a living just because you've been born, and people are just supposed to just earn, you know, give you a living.
It doesn't stop at 30, my friend.
But at some point, you know, you realize you earn a living because you add value somehow to other people's lives. That value may be, you know, something as lofty as curing cancer. It may be something not nearly as lofty like, Playboy magazine, in a whole bunch in between. And I'm not going to get into the value judgments of that stuff. But the realities of life on Earth, and I don't think a bad reality, I don't, is that we all have to figure out how to add value, and that's how you make a living. And some of us do it by patching holes in roads, and some of us, you know, there's an unlimited, practically unlimited means by which you can do that. But every human being, in fact, is obligated to figure that out. And everybody has different abilities to do that. But we've got a whole couple of generations now, maybe more, I don't know, that don't understand that, and they've got, you know, like I said, you know, I use the year 1972 as sort of the pivot point, and I think that's pretty accurate. I don't know that you could necessarily just pick a given moment in time, but, you know, at about that time, the convergence of the technology that gives us the ability to distribute the the information, the existence of the information itself, and then that mentality of, geez, you know, everybody just ought to get this stuff for free, all kind of came together. And it's been an ongoing sort of movement since. And I think in a lot of ways it's been very successful. I mean, that's what the Internet's all about. I mean, are we not aware of how much information is shared free on the Internet? It is incredible. One of the interesting things about what's going on right now is I think that's beginning to reverse in terms of it being free. I think you're going to see that change, but that's another show. So Aaron Swartz, really one of the main people on the globe, one of the main faces associated with this movement toward really pushing hard to get research and data and information shared at no cost, breaks in, hacks, and never really denies doing so. Well, the feds come in. They know he's guilty. He knows he's guilty. He doesn't have a clue how he's going to defend himself. The feds decide, you know what, this guy wants to be the poster child? We'll make him the poster child. This guy wants to get in a game of chicken with us, we'll do that. We'll up the ante. Well, and, you know, look, there is no upping the ante when the feds make that decision. Once they make that decision, you are done for. And he found himself in that situation. And ended up making the decision to take his own life. Now, there's a movie out. Was actually presented at Sundance in February, I believe it was. And now is available online, all about Aaron Swartz's rise and demise, called The Internet's Own Boy. And it's interesting because in the article I'm reading about it, they've got a picture of this guy in 2002, and, I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, he's a typical goofy-looking, geeky, you know. Probably in 2002, well, let's see, in 2013, if he was 26, he would have been 2002, would have been 11 years before, he'd have been 15 years old. And very geeky, goofy-looking little 15-year-old, really, you know, making a name for himself in the world ahead of him. And I think, you know, the mistake that you make, you know, is that I think a lot of these guys operate at kind of a naive level, and they don't really fully think through what they're trying to do. And I'm not even saying from a legal point of view. I'm talking about just from in general. I mean, we've talked for years. We would have people call up and get very angry with me because I would tell them that you can't just download music and keep it and say that that's okay. I mean, I don't care whether you download music and keep it. I don't care. Literally. But you can't do it and then say it's not stealing and it's okay. We had a guy once, it's been forever now, seeming. But we had a guy call up once and say, well, Dave, I don't profit from it. I don't sell it. I don't give it to people. I just for my own use and entertainment. And I said, great. Let me tell you something. After the show, I'm coming over to your house and I'm going to take your TV. And I won't sell it. I won't give it to anybody. I won't even let anybody else watch it. I'm going to be the only one watching it, and it'll be okay, right? And I think Swartz fell into that same sort of thing where he just hadn't fully thought things through. I think it's human nature. I can remember my boys were young, and they both did it. You know, somewhere at the age of about 7, they kind of became aware of banks, and they kind of became aware of that situation, but at a very superficial level. And they didn't realize that you had to go earn the money and that you worked, and this is what they just thought that you had money, and then when you ran out, you went to the bank and got some more. And that was their level of understanding. And I think I don't know a parent on earth that hasn't experienced that. And then you got to say, well, no, actually, it doesn't quite work exactly like that.
Wait a minute, that sounds
Here's
like...
Here's how it works.
It sounds like the...
Sounds like the Fed.
Administration right now. Isn't that true? You just print more? Just go to the Fed?
Well, in that case, the Fed is the one lone exception. Although, after some number of decades of doing that, it eventually crumbles. We just don't know exactly when, where, or how. And I think, unfortunately, Aaron Swartz, it ended up costing his life. But it's an interesting movie. It's an interesting story. It's a very tragic story. From director Brian Knappenberger. Very interesting. And again, very tragic. We're not talking about relatively unimportant things like what the hottest new cell phone is. It's a tragic story, Aaron Swartz. We'll be back. More Computer Talk right after this.
Computer Talk with Dave Mason. Guaranteed geek-free radio. Yes, this means you, fat boy.
When it comes right down to it, the most important thing in life is time. The better you manage your time, the better your life is. Hi, this is Dr. Dave. I want to talk to you about some incredible software that helps you better manage your time and get more out of life. I'm talking about Intellect from Chaos Software. I've researched time management software for over 20 years. I've never found a better, simpler, more practical tool for managing my time and my life than Intellect. In fact, it's what I use every day. It even helped me find the time to write this script. Intellect includes an easy-to-use email client with state-of-the-art spam filters, an integrated contact manager, an appointment manager, and to-do list, all wrapped up in the most efficient productivity package I've ever used. Best of all, Intellect is network-ready right out of the box. Download Intellect's free trial at chaossoftware.com. Whether you're a salesperson, retired grandmother, real estate mogul, or radio talk show host, you need Intellect from Chaos Software. Check it out at chaossoftware.com for a better life.
Hey guys, this is Evil Steve, the evil one, back again, here to talk to you about Dr. Dave's data recovery. First of all, Dr. Dave and I would like to thank you for another great year of Dr. Dave's data recovery service. It's been outstanding. We all know how important it is to back up your data. But if you didn't back up your data, and those important documents, or even more important, precious family pictures, are stuck on a dead drive somewhere, well, there is a way to get them unstuck, and it's called Dr. Dave's Data Recovery. From hard drives to floppy disks, thumb drives, flashcards, you name it, we can do it. First step, go to DaveMason.com, click on the Dr. Dave's Data Recovery button, and you'll find all the info you need right there. Dr. Dave will get your drive and do his Dr. Dave magic as usual, and get your precious data back to you safe and sound. So do the smart thing. Let Dr. Dave's Data Recovery come to your rescue. That's Dr. Dave's Data Recovery at DaveMason.com.
I've just discovered one of the most important new tools for security and privacy on the Internet today. Hey, Dr. Dave here. ID Vault looks like a military-grade USB memory stick, but it's much more. It stores all your usernames and passwords, and you don't have to worry about the remnants left on your PC after online banking. ID Vault prevents you from signing into phishing sites that steal your identity and your money. It automatically signs you into your online financial accounts with ID Vault SecureView. It automatically enters your credit card information when you shop online, so your credit card is safe from hackers and even keystroke loggers. Here's how it works. ID Vault encrypts your account passwords on a smart card microchip inside a tamper-proof USB device where the criminals can't get at them. Best of all, it's economical and easier and faster to use than usernames and passwords. Anyone who surfs the net needs their ID Vault. So get yours at IDVault.com today and save $10. That's IDVault.com. Tell them you heard it here on Computer Talk with Dave Mason.